Captain Carrot of the Ankh-Morpork City Watch, and I hereby arrest you on a charge of conspiracy to end the world. You need not say anything.
I don't intend to say anything, said Cohen, raising his sword. I'm just going to cut your head off.
Hold it, hold it, said Boy Willie urgently. Do you know who we all are?
Yes, sir, I believe I do. You are Boy Willie, a.k.a. Mad Bill, Wilhelm the Chopper, the great...
And you are going to arrest us? You say you are some kind of watchman?
That is correct, sir.
We must have killed hundreds of watchmen in our time, lad.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
How much do they pay you, boy? Said Caleb.
$43 a month, Mr. Ripper, with allowances.
The horde burst out laughing. Then Carrot drew his sword.
I must insist, sir. What you are planning to do will destroy the world.
Only this bit, lad, said Cohen. Now you could go off home and...
I'm being patient, sir, out of respect for your grey hairs.
There was a further burst of laughing, and Mad Hamish had to be slapped on the back.
Just a moment, boys, said Mrs. McGarry quietly. Are we thinking this one through? Look around you.
They looked around.
Well?
Cohen demanded.
There's me, and you, said Vina, and Truckle and Boy Willie and Hamish, and Caleb and a minstrel.
So?
That's seven, said Vina. Seven of us against one of him. Seven against one. And he thinks he's going to save the world. And he knows who we are, and he's going to fight us.
You think he's the hero? Cackled Mad Hamish. Ha! What kind of hero works for $43 a month, plus allowances?
But the cackle was all alone in the sudden quietness. The horde could calculate the peculiar mathematics of heroism quite quickly. There always was, at the start and finish, the code. They lived by the code. You followed the code, and you became part of the code for those who followed you. The code was it. Without the code, you weren't a hero. You were just a thug in a loincloth. The code was quite clear. One brave man against seven. One. They knew it was true. In the past, they'd all relied on it. The higher the odds, the greater the victory. That was the code. Forget the code, dismiss the code, deny the code, and the code would take you. They looked down at Captain Carrot's sword. It was short, sharp, and plain. It was a working sword. It had no runes on it, no mystic gleam twinkled on its edge. If you believed in the code, that was worrying. One simple sword in the hands of a truly brave man could cut through a magical sword like suet. It wasn't a frightening thought, but it was a thought.
"Funny thing," said Cohen, "but I heard tell once that down in Ankh-Morpork there's some watchman who's really heir to the throne but keeps very quiet about it because he likes being a watchman."
"Oh, dear," thought the horde. "Kings in disguise, that was code material right there." Carrot met Cohen's gaze.
"Never heard of him," he said.
"To die for $43 a month," said Cohen, holding the gaze. "A man's got to be very, very stupid, or very... very brave."
"What's the difference?" said Rincewind, stepping forward. "Look, I don't want to break up a moment of drama or anything, but he's not joking. If that keg explodes here, it will destroy the world. It'll open up a sort of hole and all the magic will drain away."
"Rincewind?" said Cohen. "What are you doing here, you old rat?"
"Trying to save the world," said Rincewind. He rolled his eyes. "Again?" Cohen looked uncertain, but heroes don't back down easily, even in the face of the code.
"It'll really all blow up?"
"Yes." "It's not much of a world," Cohen muttered. "Not any more." "What about all the dear little kittens?" Rincewind began.
"Puppies,"
hissed Carrot, not taking his eyes off Cohen.
"Puppies, I mean, eh? Eh? Think of them."
"Well, what about them?"
"Oh, nothing."
"But everyone will die," said Carrot.
Cohen shrugged his skinny shoulders.
"Everyone dies sooner or later, so we're told."
"There would be no one left to remember," said the minstrel, as if he was talking to himself.
"If there's no one left alive, no one will remember."
The horde looked at him.
"No one will remember who you were or what you did," he went on. "There will be nothing. No more songs. No one will remember."
Cohen sighed.
"All right, then let's say, supposing I don't..."
"Cohen,"
said Truckle in an unusually worried voice,
"you know, a few minutes ago where you